Our text for sermon today comes from our Old Testament reading. You may follow along in the back of your bulletin if you like. From 1 Kings 19, verse 9. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountain and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah you shall anoint to be a prophet in your place. And the one who escapes the sword from Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you will probably be saying these words in just 3 days on the 4th of July. And who wouldn't be amazed by explosions in the sky with those fiery embers cascading down to the ground? It's almost like fire from heaven. Well, right before the events of our text for today, that's exactly what Elijah saw, fire from heaven. Now, at this time, there was a great famine in the land. And it all happened at the showdown at Mount Carmel. In this corner, you have Elijah, the only prophet of God left. And in this corner, you have 450 prophets of Baal, those wayward idol worshippers. And the challenge was to find out who the real God was, Yahweh, the name of our Lord, or Baal, that Canaanite rain god, by seeing which God could light the sacrifice by sending down fire from heaven. Round one. The prophets of Baal call out to their God and wail to no avail. And Elijah even mocks them in confidence. Round two, Elijah's turn. He says, "Pour water on the sacrifice." Not once, not twice, but 3 times. And he calls upon the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And fire comes down from heaven, consumes the sacrifice, and licks up all the water. And the people rejoice, and they exclaim, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God." And the prophets of Baal are defeated and killed, and rain finally falls upon the land once again. What a victory. What a high. But now we get to our text for today. We find Elijah in a cave, afraid and alone. Of all places for the prophet of the Lord to be, who had just been a part of this huge victory, in a cave. You see, Queen Jezebel, who was a worshiper of Baal, heard about what happened, and she threatened to hunt him down and take his life just like he took the lives of those prophets. And so Elijah runs into the wilderness and pleads for the Lord to take his life. But the Lord sends him food and nourishes him on his journey all the way to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. And Elijah finds a cave to lodge in, afraid and alone. What a low. And to make matters worse, the people were still worshiping Baal, even after that huge Mount Carmel victory. At the beginning of this summer, I started working for my Uncle John at Roop Rosebrock. And the first day of work, he had me 20-some feet in the air, putting up sheet metal on this pole barn. The next day, I'm 6 feet under the ground, laying drainage tile. And jokingly that weekend, I commented to my family, well, those are the highs and lows of working for Uncle John. But if anyone knows about going from high to low, it's Elijah and this story for today. This is probably one of the biggest reversals of somebody's day in the whole Bible. Talk about going from high to low. He sees God very evident at work and sending down fire from heaven. And the next thing you know, he's on the run, afraid and alone. And in the cave, the Lord asked him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah answers, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." Afraid and alone, Elijah wants to give up and throw in the towel. He even said on his journey that he wanted the Lord to just take his life. He just wants to give up. Have you ever felt like Elijah? On the run and alone with everything in the world against you. Have you ever felt like the things in your life just keep piling up against you? When that job list at work grows to this insurmountable mountain, and you're the only one who's going to do it. Have you ever had one of those days when everything went wrong and you just wanted to give up? Have you ever felt like God just wasn't there? Like one of those days when you see everything chasing you in the rearview mirror and you got the pedal to the metal trying to get away, but you're losing ground. God, where are you? Or when the events of Virginia Tech happened, we ask, God, where are you? Or when a friend or family member dies unexpectedly, God, where are you? There are so many terrible things that happen in this world, and sometimes we all want to ask, where is God in all of this? Especially in the lows of life. Where is God's power like fire from heaven? Well, let's look at our text once again. Elijah is directed to stand before the mount of the Lord. And he sees three awesome sights. He sees wind blow hard, busting and breaking rocks into pieces. He feels the earthquake shake the ground. He sees fire rage. But there's one thing about those three sights. Even though they were all things to ooh and ah about, God wasn't in any of them. But then comes a low whisper. Another way to translate this is a thin silence. And the Lord was in that thin silence. The Lord was in that low whisper. But what does this mean? The Lord is saying, "Hey Elijah, I'm not just the God of extraordinary exhibitions. I'm not just the God who sends down fire from heaven. I am even present in the low whisper. I am even present in the quiet. I am the Lord who is always present for my people, always present working out my plan of salvation for my people. And even when you don't see me in these great displays of power, I am still present, just like I've always been." The Lord demonstrated this presence to Elijah by sustaining him on his journey to Mount Horeb through the wilderness. And he sent him on his way to anoint Elisha and carry on his work. Because the Lord was with Elijah through high and low. You see, the people of the Old Testament experience those same fears that you and I do. They experience those same trials, those same lows of feeling like God isn't there. And sometimes they just wanted to give up. But there's another thing that is the same for those Old Testament people, that is the same for us today. The Lord is even in the low whisper. He is always present for His people, working out His plan. Sometimes our feelings tell us that God is not present. But our feelings do not govern the reality. The reality is He is always present, just like He has always been, even when His presence seems impossible. And if you ever doubt this, you need look no further than the cross, the lowest of lows of all humanity. A flesh and blood man dying on the cross certainly doesn't look like God. He said He was God, but no one believed Him. And they crucified Him for blasphemy. No one would have ever suspected that God was present in this act. But in the lowest of lows, God was present, working out His plan of salvation for you. God's presence in Jesus on the cross saves you. He is present even in the lows. And this is the truth that we hold on to in the midst of all the lows of this life. We hold fast to the truth that we know God saves through Christ. And the only place we look in a crisis is Christ. Christ is in the midst of the crisis with you. That is what keeps us going. God is in the low with you. And so if He is in the highest of highs, in fire from heaven, and in the lowest of lows of the Savior dying on the cross, then He has everything in between. He is ever present for you. And God's presence is secured in us through baptism. For through baptism we have been joined with Christ. We have been joined in the low of His death and are also joined in the height of His resurrection. We are permanently joined to Him that we should never be alone. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when you feel alone, ostracized, afraid, God is here. When you feel like the whole world is against you, God is here. When you feel like you are striving with everything you have to get away and you just want to give up, God is here. When it seems like there is no possible way that God could ever be present, He is here. He is with us even in the lows of life, comforting us in all things and leading us to Him. And we know that He works all things to the good of those who love Him. And the Lord calls us then to carry on with our work, even when the lows of life come. Even when it's hard and we want to give up, we have confidence through our baptisms that He is present even through the lows of everyday life. For His work is present in the little things of life, those everyday activities that we do. For putting food on the table for your family is the Lord's work. Visiting your aunt in the nursing home is the Lord's work. Waking up at 3 a.m. to take care of your newborn is the Lord's work. Respecting your parents' wishes to be home by that 10 p.m. curfew is the Lord's work. Remaining faithful to your promises is the Lord's work. And of course, telling others about the love of Christ is the Lord's work. These things all may not seem that glorious, like a fire from heaven display of God, but He is present in these things as well. And we have the words of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Our strength to carry on with those things that he has set before us comes from the fact that he is always with us, even to the end of the age. We are never alone through high and low. And on the last day, the Lord will make his presence known by his second coming. Everyone will be awestruck by that sight, and every knee will bow and heart confess that the Lord is God. And so as you celebrate the founding of this country and those who have fought for our freedom, and you enjoy that ooh and ah experience of fire from heaven, be reminded that the Lord will come in glory to gather his people for an eternity with him. But for those of us who have been washed clean by the blood of Christ, it will not be simple amazement. For on that day, the words from our mouths will be no simple oohs and ahs, but hallelujahs. Amen.